For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
So you know, Wes, they say that age ain't nothing but a number. But when it comes to aging bourbon, the number doesn't always tell you the whole story.
That's right.
So if you want to know the secrets of the bourbon aging process, then stick around.
Hey, thank you. All right? Thank you. You, Patreon, who's on right now watching this video. Your name's on the screen. We love you, okay? Yep. We want you to know that. We want you to know that we appreciate your partnership in making a difference in this world. And it is a partnership because we hope that you are getting just as much benefit as we are and the world gets to benefit from our relationship. And so if you want to know more about our Patreon options, stick around to the end of the video because you definitely want to be on board with the mission of this channel. And we'd love to have you on board. So stick around to the end and you'll find out all about it.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the factors that affect the aging process for bourbon, because it's way more complicated than
yes,
people realize.
And you are a nerd.
So I am
a
nerd.
I'm sure you have all the deets.
I'm sure that the real nerds are going to go like, he skipped so much stuff. But just to get an idea of how complicated all this is, right? So the first factor that we can talk about are the factors that affect the trees.
Oh, yes.
Okay, that are used to make the barrels.
Yep.
So first off, you have species,
uh-huh.
right? You know, because we're starting to hear about different species of oak, like chicopin and other things, right?
Yep.
But something that you don't think of is how much the tree is exposed to wind. Because trees that are exposed to a lot of gust of wind
sturdy
actually grow with greater density than trees that aren't. And density affects the way that the whiskey ages in the barrel.
Isn't God cool?
God is cool. Yeah.
That's wild.
For a lot of reasons. Soil, right? The soil, compounds that are in the soil, that is going to affect the tree's development.
Wow.
It's going to affect how dense the flavor compounds are that are in that wood.
Mm-hmm.
Drought also impacts density, which is going to impact the aging process.
Yep.
Then you have the factors that affect the staves, right?
Yeah, in case you're wondering what trees have to do with whiskey, yes, those trees are made into barrels.
Into barrel staves. And then the staves into barrels.
Yep.
Right?
And they're drying in kilns and open air. And so stave width and stave density, all of those things play a factor. And that's interesting.
And that's huge, right?
Yeah.
Because the fast way to turn a stave into something that can be used in a barrel is to dry it in a kiln.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some research that shows that if you stack those staves in the way that they get stacked when they're supposed to be open air drying, that it will pull out some more of the more negative flavor compounds from the wood.
Mm, wow.
But it takes a whole lot more time.
Yeah.
And so
time is money.
And so any cooperage that air dries their staves, their barrels are likely going to cost more money. It takes more time, takes more space, on and so forth.
And then we've got toasting and the whole barrel char influence as well.
Right. And that's where you start to get into the difference in the barrels, right?
Sure.
So toasting is like smoking a brisket.
Right.
Okay. It's
low and slow.
Low and slow. It breaks down the cellulose layer of the oak, which makes it easier for the whiskey to penetrate into the wood and pull compounds back out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got char level. And I actually learned that char level works the opposite of the way everyone thinks it works.
Really?
Right. And so everyone thinks higher char,
more
faster
time.
Aging.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
They think more influence of the barrel
because
the higher char.
Sure.
But what do they put in your stomach if you drink poison to absorb it?
I don't know.
Charcoal.
I've never had poison.
Yeah, they'll put a charcoal solution because the charcoal will absorb
the poison.
Right?
Wow, okay.
And so when you have higher
charcoal,
you have a thicker charcoal layer.
Mm, yeah.
which means that, yes, it's filtering more compounds out of the whiskey as it pushes through the charcoal into the wood, but it also makes it harder for the whiskey to pull the compounds back through the charcoal layer into the liquid.
That makes sense.
So you're going to slow down the barrel influence with higher char levels.
Wow, look at us learning things.
Okay.
This is great.
And we talked about stave width, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
That's going to affect how easy it is for air to move in and out of the barrel with barometric pressure changes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That can influence how much pressure builds up in the barrel to push the liquid into the wood and so on and so forth. Then you've got the size of the barrel, which is going to change your surface area.
Yeah.
Okay, so
53 is the standard, right?
53 standard, but like you were telling me, you know somebody in Colorado that can get access to 13th Century where that's sold. They use all 30-gallon barrels.
Mm.
And so
with they have more evaporative loss, too.
Yeah, they have more evaporative loss, and you've got more surface area contact.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you have a larger barrel, there's more liquid in the center that's not touching the wood.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a smaller barrel, your surface area contact level goes up, and you're going to extract flavors out of the wood faster. Right?
Yeah. Wow.
Then you've got whiskey factors.
Like entry proof.
Like barrel entry proof.
Right, yeah.
Right? And so do you know the maximum barrel entry proof?
It's 125.
125.
Right.
And so, but water.
But not everybody goes
to that level, right?
That level, right?
That is the most, the higher your barrel entry proof, the more efficient your aging process is going to be because effectively you're storing more alcohol in less space.
Right.
So you need fewer barrel warehouses if you do the legal maximum, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you've determined that your whiskey tastes better if it goes in at a lower proof,
mm-hmm.
The lowest proof that I know of is probably from Wilderness Trail.
Okay.
There's going to be different compounds that get pulled out of that oak based on how much water and how much ethanol is in the solution. Water pulls out different compounds than ethanol mm-hmm. does.
And in 1792, they go at the maximum, right? 125?
I believe so, yeah. Okay. That's why their foolproof whiskey is 125.
It's 125, yeah.
But then you look at something like Weller, and their foolproof is only 114 because that's their barrel entry proof.
Okay.
They're 11 proof points below the maximum. Hey, nice hat.
Hey, thanks. Nice lanyard.
Nice rocks glass.
Thanks, man. Nice travel case.
Nice blend topper.
Thank you. Nice candle.
Nice bottle bag.
Thanks, man. That's a nice tumbler.
Nice woman's t-shirt.
Oh, thanks. Nice extra schmedium shirt.
Get yourself some nice things and get all the compliments that come along with it. Shop bourbonrealtalk.com.
And then there's a technique, which is not super widely used, but one of my favorite people in whiskey is Nancy the Nose Fraley.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a
shout
lot.
Shout out to you, Nancy.
Shout out to Nancy.
She loves the show she's watching right now.
She actually does comment on our videos sometimes. And every time I'm like, why are you listening to me? You are like the most brilliant person in whiskey. You should never watch my show.
So
I
cool.
apologize for all of the dumb stuff I say. But anyway, she got trained in the Cognac region of France, and they have a process there that's referred to as élevage.
Élevage. Yes.
And one of the things that they'll do is proof down in barrel. And so a lot of the brands...
in the barrel.
So a lot of the brands that she consulted with, like Iron Root and Still Austin, they use this élevage technique.
Really?
And as the barrel's aging, if the proof starts to get up too high, they'll put some proofing water in there, which is totally neutral, doesn't have anything in it, it doesn't have any minerals or anything.
It's not tap water.
But then you're actually getting more extraction of flavor out of the barrel because now there's water in there to pull different compounds out.
That's awesome.
So you have things like that. And then, of course...
You got environment.
The barrel aging location.
Yeah, like where you're at. You've got all those different parts of the country, humidity levels, temp swings, barometric pressure. All those things make a massive difference. And that's why you see a lot of these distilleries, like the well-known ones, in the same location right there in the Tennessee, Kentucky area.
Right. They have pretty similar.
They have a very similar atmosphere and environment, and so they all get these similar results. And I guess it's kind of like the ideal, place, at least has been for the history of bourbon, but
right.
It's great. Like, they've got the best of both worlds, right? They have these massive temperature swings. I used to live in Tennessee, so I mean, in the summers it's beautiful. It doesn't get super hot, but it gets hot enough to where you can get that expansion with the whiskey in the barrel. And then you've got these low temperature swings in the winter where you get this retraction where it comes back in, and it's just all to do with environment, for sure.
Right.
And I'd probably say that probably plays the biggest factor.
That's probably the biggest factor. Mm-hmm. You can actually have whiskey dormancy.
Mm.
So do you remember, did you get to go to Warehouse P when we were at Buffalo Trace where we walked into that freezer?
Yeah.
So whiskey stops interacting with wood. It's somewhere around 48 degrees. Mm. And so there's this huge process or program that they're running at Buffalo Trace. It's an experimental where they created a freezer that's got all these barrels that they're aging to 50 years.
Yeah.
But they're keeping them right at about the number of degrees that will make the whiskey just almost dormant.
Yeah.
But there Absolutely. Are areas of the country that get cold enough where the whiskey doesn't interact with the wood at all.
Right.
Yeah. Because it's just too cold. Then you've got ricked versus palletized.
Right.
So
and you've got height as well.
Right. Well, let's talk about that one last because that's most important. But do you remember when we went to Bardstown? Were you at the Bardstown Bourbon
Company?
Oh, yeah,
where they were upright.
Yeah.
And they're like, we may or may not be making for Bullet.
Bullet,
we're
right.
Like, oh, yes, you are.
So there's two ways to store barrels. One is in ricks where the barrels are on their side and they roll into these lanes that are designed to be the right width. And, mm-hmm. you know, they'll go up, like Wild Turkey goes up, I think 15 levels or something like that.
Yeah.
But the other way is to turn the barrel on its side and put it on a pallet. And then you put four barrels on a pallet, you put another pallet and put four more barrels on.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Pop and so on and so forth, and you can stack it up.
And it's an efficiency for storing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You can store a lot more barrels that way.
And we're realizing that palletized whiskey may age a little better. Mm-hmm. You might get more time for the whiskey to esterify and develop fruit flavors without as much evaporative loss because everything's kind of packed in there tighter.
Yep.
But the most important thing is the height of sure. the barrel inside the warehouse.
Absolutely. And we mentioned this in another episode talking about Jack Daniel's and with their master distiller of their process of how they start certain barrels high up. And even when we met with Sherry Moore,
yeah.
you know, she's talking about the Buzzard's Roost, right? That's like the tip top of the rickhouse where all that heat rises to, and you just get some banging high proofs up there. But obviously you can't keep a barrel up there forever, so you kind of move
it all
them around
yeah.
and you move them around in your rickhouse according to where that proof point's getting to. And that's super fascinating.
Yeah, and most barrels don't get moved. Most barrels spend their whole life in that location because it's just so expensive to move barrels
yeah.
around.
Oh my gosh.
And then you yeah. have the risk of barrel warehouse collapse, right? So these barrels, when they're full, they're like 850 pounds,
yeah.
right? You have a warehouse that has 50,850-pound barrels in it.
Mm.
If you load it wrong, it'll collapse.
Yeah. And what was that? Where was that distillery we went where they had that plumb line?
That is 1792.
Okay, that yeah. was that was true. That was interesting.
So I mean, they literally
got this plumb line hanging from the very
they
ceiling.
They have a plumb bob hanging from the ceiling.
Yes.
And there's marks on a thing underneath yeah. it. And they are literally monitoring how the weight of the barrels is shifting.
It's super fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much that, I mean, once I got into the whiskey journey that I learned that you would never think about
mm-hmm.
outside. Like, you're just thinking, oh, these guys distill whiskey, they put it on a shelf, and we buy it. But there is so much science and so much that goes into it. It's truly fascinating.
And what's funny is a lot of the people that are at the peak of that industry
mm-hmm.
are from areas that have accents that cause like the general public to discount
Yeah, like you don't know what you're talking
about. Yeah, right. And then, and so you're talking to someone and they're like, well, yeah, so when you put this thing in the rick, you got to do it like this. Right. And if you don't, then everyone dies. And you're like, oh my God, like you, like you're, this person is like a brilliant engineer.
Yep.
And somehow we're trained not to really appreciate right. that, right?
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, I mean. So the height in the warehouse, very important. As you mentioned, heat rises. But another environmental factor is that because these barrels are evaporating, mm-hmm. The barrel warehouses can get very humid.
Yep.
And the barrels are almost like, remember those pouches that you'd fill with warm water that you could put in your bed?
Oh, like a heat pouch.
Yeah, like a hot water bottle.
A hot water bottle, that's what they were, yeah.
So every barrel is like that. Right. And so the temperature can change in the spring mm-hmm. and start to be warmer. But that barrel is going to stay cold from the winter for months.
For a while. Yeah.
So you can go visit Kentucky mm-hmm. in the spring and it's 77 degrees outside and you're wearing shorts and you walk into a barrel warehouse and all of a sudden you are freezing cold.
Oh, absolutely. That's a pro tip for you. If you're doing a distillery tour, go ahead and pack a jacket. No matter what time of the year it is, go ahead and pack a jacket because every warehouse I've been in, it's been chilly.
So if you think about that, if the barrels are like this insulated blanket, right? Yep. The ones that are on the outside, they're affected the most.
They're the insulation, basically.
But the ones that are in the center, they're protected by all those other barrels. And then you've got heat rising, which is affecting the barrels at the top, but not the ones at the bottom. And then you have humidity mm-hmm. that's heavier than the atmospheric air, and it's settling in the bottom. So if you get in the very center of a large warehouse at the very bottom, it's going to have very little temperature change. It's going to have super high humidity. The barrel proofs are going to like go down with age as opposed to going Absolutely. Up like the ones at the top. And so there is a lot that Absolutely. Goes into it. And probably the most important is barrel location inside the warehouse.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, this is like a Bill Nye the Science Guy episode, so you're welcome.
Yeah.
I mean, and luckily, Randy has all this nerdy tendencies to find these things out, and it teaches people. Like, that's why I was like, man, I want to be in this episode because I want to learn a few things. And there is so much that goes into this process that, of course, we recommend you go on these distillery tours. Guys, get out there to learn a little bit about it and find out for yourself. And you get to taste these different bottles from different parts of the United States. Go buy the next time you see on the shelf a bottle that was distilled up in Colorado, for example, and taste the difference. See if you can figure out a difference between that and something from Kentucky, because you should be able to tell a difference in those barrels that have aged in these different environments. It's really cool.
Remember that time that we tried all the different MGPs that were the same proof in the same mash bill?
Yeah.
And they all tasted different?
Right.
It's because they had different aging environments.
Right, yeah. Right?
And so, you know, the age statement doesn't necessarily tell you that much, because a barrel that aged in the bottom center of a warehouse is going to taste totally different from...
Yep.
If that whiskey was made the same day and barreled the same day, but the barrel was at the top on the outside
right.
edge...
Yep.
Going to taste different.
Exactly.
You can do things to speed up flavor extraction to make it age faster, but you may be sacrificing some of the other flavor development that just takes time because of the chemical reactions that are inside the liquid.
Yep.
And so, you know, there's really brilliant people out there that are balancing those factors for you, and you get it in a glass. And sometimes people have a tendency to go, oh, well, if it's not at least 12 years, then it's not good.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And it's not that simple.
Yeah.
So,
if you've got a 12-year-old product that was aged for 8 of those years in Texas and another same product aged 8 of those years on the East Coast, you're going to taste a very different
Very
product.
Different, yeah. So let's do a giveaway.
Yeah,
what I thought would be fun, we're going to have 5 1-ounce sample pack winners.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you 2 extreme examples.
Okay, yeah.
For you to try side by side.
Yep.
So if you are one of the winners, you're going to get a Russell's 13-year.
Okay.
And a Wild Turkey Father and Son 13-year.
Okay.
These are the same liquid, aged in the same warehouses, from the same barrel cooperages, and they taste totally different.
It's wild.
Totally different.
So you can imagine how different environments would change it, but these were aged in the same exact environment.
Right. What I suspect is that the father and son was probably higher up in the
right.
rick house.
I'm just talking environment as far as the same distillery.
Yeah, and the Russell's barrels are typically on like the the I think it's like the 5th or the 10th layer, but they don't typically go up in the, you know, 11th, 12th, 13th, 15th layer, right? And so I think that the wild turkeys were probably higher up because you taste so much more barrel char. Yeah. And then the other one that we're going to do is the Elijah Craig 18 year, which is a classic example of an overcooked whiskey.
Right.
Next to an Elijah Craig small batch, which are pretty similar in price, proof. The 18 years, 90 proof. The small batch, which I'm out of, I'm going to have to buy a bottle. This is one of my foolproof single barrels that you won't be getting, but we'll give you the small batch next to it.
Yeah.
And those are the same whiskeys that are just aged for different amounts of time. So these two, same amount of time, but you taste the difference.
Yep.
These two, same proof, different amount of time, you can taste the difference.
Yeah, and if you like your steak well done, you'll love this AC18. It is so overdone.
Yeah.
Now, you're probably wondering, how do I get into this? Okay. If you want to get in the giveaway, it's super simple. Okay. First thing you need to do is like the video. Then you want to subscribe. Then ring the bell. That's important, because ringing the bell notifies you of future episodes, and we do a giveaway on every episode. So last thing you need to do is go to the description, expand, go down to the link that's right beside the big, giant, all caps words giveaway. Click that link, and we'll just get your basic info so that we can run a randomizer with your information with everyone else who has joined into the giveaway, and we'll post those results publicly, and we'll declare our winner. And then these samples will come out to you from Chrissy Lynn, and you will enjoy them just like we have. Okay? Mm-hmm.
And for free, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And if you like this content, you want to support the channel, there's three ways. You could check out our Patreon. Got a lot of benefits. You can check out our merch. We got a lot of great merchandise. And I'm also a residential real estate agent in the Dallas and Houston metro area. And there's links for all three ways to support the channel in the video description below the player head in YouTube.
And Randy, as a real estate agent, gives away epic bottles as closing gifts. We're not talking like, here's a JD 10. No, we're talking like, here's a Pappy 10.
Right.
Right. Here's some BTAC that you've been wanting your whole life. So definitely hit him up if you're looking for a real estate opportunity in Dallas or Houston.
Yeah. And if this is your first time tuning in, we'd love to tell you why we do all that we do. Yes, whiskey's great. We want you to learn about whiskey and have a good time, but there's a more important mission behind it all, and it's to bring people together.
Yeah.
I lost a loved one to suicide. At his memorial, a lot of his friends were coming up and telling me how they had started to feel a distance between them and my brother, and that they felt like that he might have started to feel alone. And that gave me the motivation to try to find a way to help create those kinds of connections. And at the same time that I was going through that in my life, I was getting more involved in the whiskey enthusiast world, and I started to notice how whiskey would bring people together, sometimes even people from different ideological views that normally wouldn't have made friends.
Right, yeah.
And so I thought, well, if whiskey's that powerful, maybe I can use it and get you connected to whiskey, and whiskey will do the rest of the job and get you connected to others. And as we looked into the connection opportunities, because obviously you have to have a way to interact with people, we did see some negativity online, and those individuals taught us two things. One, we needed to have our own forum that didn't have a bunch of negativity in it so that people could focus on the important things and get connected over the things that actually connect people. But the second thing they taught us is that if those people can be hateful, we can show love. And so we end every episode the same way, and that's this. If you woke up this morning and you're unsure whether or not anyone loved you, just know that we love you. We'll see you next time on Bourbon Real Talk. Cheers.
Cheers.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.